Tyler, when I heard about this trade, my first reaction was, I'm not crazy about it. I know people are some people are just loving this deal and that Frank Reich's going to fix what was wrong with Carson Wentz. I'm not sure Carson Wentz is really that fixable anymore. And I know it's a great situation, but a lot of Carson Wentz struggles are on Carson Wentz for just holding on to the football a ton. Do you really believe Frank Reich can fix what's wrong with Carson Wentz and turn him back to his MVP-like form?
I do. Hey, let's have this conversation. That's great. I think that, you know, Carson Wentz, it's just whether you believe or not, right? I mean, do you believe that 2017 version of Carson Wentz is, like, buried in there somewhere? Because he was special. He was magical. He was improvisational. It was what Josh Allen did, you know, this year with Buffalo in 2020 and then some. I mean, he would have been MVP. Well, I think they were 11-2 when he tore that ACL. 33 touchdowns, 6 or 7 picks. It was just, he was going to make the play when he had to, game in and game out. And then, poof, he's a different player last year. You know, I think it's a case of the yips. Look, I could be dead wrong. Don't get me wrong. This may be wrong. I'm more prone to make every excuse in the book for Carson Wentz because I feel like Howie Roseman just absolutely drove that roster into the ground. I mean, just an epic job, you know, terrible job with every decision he's made since that Super Bowl, paying the wrong guys, drafting the wrong players. You know, took two receivers, not named DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson in back-to-back years. And the team around Carson Wentz, I think, was just an abomination. And I feel like, yeah, that Jalen Hurts pick, he didn't react well to it. Didn't react to it, you know, like Aaron Rodgers did when they took Jordan Love. And Rodgers just takes his game to a new level because he's, you know, all pissed off his team drafted his replacement. But Philly should have a handle of that temperament, right? They should know how Wentz is going to react. Green Bay knew how Rodgers would react to that. They knew it would tick him off in all the best reasons, for all the best reasons. Philly should have known. I think that he returns to that MVP version in Indy with Frank Reich, and that team is just absolutely loaded around him, unlike Philly.
So I've really been trying to rack my brain on this one, and that 3-year stretch from 17 to 19, this was a quarterback who threw over 80 touchdowns and 21 picks spread across 3 seasons. So was excellent, and was excellent down the stretch in 2019 to get that Eagles team into the playoffs. Yes. And then, you know, he got concussed against Seattle, and we know how that ended. But I honestly wonder, you know, physically, he's had some serious injuries. We know he had the torn ACL. He's had some back stuff. I wonder if Carson went a half or even a full step slower or just depleted as to what he was over that 3-year stretch. If that is the case, I wonder what he can be if all the improvisational stuff, like, what do you think he can be as mostly a pocket passer? I guess that's really my question.
That's a great question because you're right. I mean, there's no excuse making for the injuries, and I mean, that could be a real concern. I guess what gives me hope in Indianapolis is just the way that team is constructed with the best offensive line of football. I mean, imagine what's going through Andrew Luck's head right now, right? I mean, Ryan Grigson did absolutely nothing for him on the offensive line, never drafted anybody. The guy just gets the snot beat out of him every year. He's forced to retire. Now they got the best line in football. Jonathan Taylor, he might have been the best running back the last month of the season. I mean, probably it was Derrick Henry, but he was right there statistically. He came on, he turned that corner. Michael Pittman Jr. at receiver, he could be a star. And that defense, man, I mean, they're loaded. So I think that they're in a position to compete, and Carson Wentz won't have to be Superman. You know, he won't have to operate outside of the pocket, you know, second, third, fourth reaction type of stuff off platform all the time. Granted, he's been proven to be really good in that spot. But I think with Frank Reich, he's with the coach who knows him best and is going to use him best, and he can operate from the pocket and avoid those injuries.
Tyler, where are the Colts now? And obviously, we still need the free agency still needs to happen. The draft still needs to happen. But true Super Bowl contenders now in the AFC East, where do you have the Colts after getting Carson Wentz?
Yeah, it was such a great move for them because, you know, we knew this offseason would be wild at the quarterback position. A lot of quarterbacks could be available. A lot of teams need a quarterback. But, you know, that musical chairs tune, it's playing, and at some point it's going to stop. And there's going to be some teams kind of left, you know, reaching for Mitchell Trubisky or Jameis Winston, or hoping they can, like, draft. Like, what do the Bears do right now? But they're probably going to have to do what they did before and, you know, sign, like, a veteran like Mike Glenn and then draft somebody. They're not even at the top of the draft this time. So I think that Indy, the fact that they were proactive and they went after the guy they wanted and got him at a pretty reasonable price considering, puts them in position, because I don't know what they would have done at the position if they didn't get Wentz. And say what you want about Rivers. I mean, he statistically was really good last year. He'll be in the Hall of Fame, all that stuff. But I'm sure Frank Reich hasn't forgotten that fourth and goal from the four, end of the first half against Buffalo, the wild card round, a chance to go up 17-7. The pass just a hair long, just a little long. He had a lot of plays, a lot of moments like that, that I think Carson Wentz makes those plays and puts this team over the top. So they're right there to me with Buffalo and Cleveland as the teams that can challenge Kansas City next year.
So looking at the Eagles, I'm fascinated by what they might do in the draft this year, and how does that week 17 decision now, they got a higher pick as a result of that, and maybe they can draft a quarterback. But it kind of goes hand in hand with, I guess, how you feel about Jalen Hurts. Do you think Jalen Hurts can be an above average starting quarterback in the NFL, or do you think the Eagles should look to be proactive and bring in another quarterback so they can, I guess, have a competition between whoever it is, Fields, Lance, Wilson, and I guess Hurts as well?
Yeah, gosh, I'm not sure. I think that they're going to give Hurts a shot. You saw enough last season, you know, given the situation around the quarterback position. I mean, he made some plays. I mean, he provided a little bit of hope, a little bit of juice here and there. So he's earned the right to compete for a starting job, I think. I would be shocked if he at least didn't have the chance to be that week one starter. But, I mean, this is still a new staff coming in, and they're going to probably want to reevaluate the most important position in sports. And they're in a spot where they can draft somebody. If somebody falls to them, I'm not sure who that guy is that they'd be targeting, but I would not be shocked at all if they took a quarterback first and really tried to rebuild this thing, because they have to. I mean, they've got to cleanse the bad contracts. They've got to completely start over. I mean, they're already cleaning house, and it's remarkable, guys. I mean, Howie Roseman, and this dude's a survivor. I mean, he's been there forever. My co-host on my podcast, Jim Otis, he was like an intern in the PR department before he got into scouting himself with Philly. And Howie Roseman, I think he was like an intern or a young guy at the time then too, in the early 2000s. And it's just wild how he kind of ingratiated himself to the ownership there. And everybody else has gone like two or three times over, and he's still there. So the owners love him. We know that. But what we don't know is if he can build a winning football team, because starting, I mean, they won a Super Bowl. Maybe fans don't even care. You know, give him one Super Bowl and they'll lose for decades. But it's starting to look like a flash in the pan right now.
Tyler Dunn, NFL writer for Go Long with Tyler Dunn, joining us here, Sportsnet Today. George and Josh, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Sportsnet radio network. We saw the tweet from J.J. Watt this week. Tyler, free agency is wild. And to me, there's only really one destination to make the most sense. I'm drawing a lot of parallels to what we saw in the mid-90s here. If we want to talk about Columbia Records and CDs in the mail, we might as well talk about mid-90s Green Bay Packers. When Reggie White went to the Packers, it was their missing piece for the Super Bowl. They go win a Super Bowl with Brett Favre. I feel like if J.J. Watt gets to the Packers, this could be their missing piece for another Super Bowl.
You might not be far off. You know, they're both 32 years old. You know, I'm tempted to say you're crazy, right? Like, Reggie White's Reggie White. He was, what, defensive player of the year into his mid to late 30s. And I think he had, like, 68, 69 sacks in 6 years with Green Bay, won a Super Bowl, all that stuff. More than that, he made Green Bay a destination. I mean, nobody wanted to play in Green Bay. Nobody wanted to sign there as a free agent before him. So his effect was just unbelievable. But, you know, with J.J. Watt, yeah, I think he could have an effect. And he hasn't played more than 8 games in 3 of the last 5 years. I get it. You don't know what you're going to get durability-wise. But you know he's a playmaker. I think the comparison I'd use, you know, White might be a little lofty, but give me, like, that Julius Peppers comparison. When he signed with Green Bay, he was even older. I think he was 34, 35, 36. And he was phenomenal. I mean, he made plays in huge moments. batting down, like, God, 11, 12 passes in 14 and a ton of sacks, a couple touchdowns. He was just all over the place and used smartly. You know, he was at a point in his career where he didn't need to play 60, 70 snaps a game. I think Watt isn't going to be on a pitch count, but they'll probably dial back the snaps a little bit and make sure he's that guy that makes that play when you need it and absolutely can be that force. From what I'm hearing ballpark-wise, you know, I think teams want to ink him to a contract that's very incentive-laden. You know, they want to see him play a full season or close to before giving him a ton of money. But that Calais Campbell deal in Baltimore, I think it was, 2 years, $27, $28 million. Probably something like that is what you're looking at for why. I think teams aren't really going to want to go beyond 2 years, and maybe that's kind of where we're at now. You know, Tom Condon, his representation, trying to beef up that market for him, get teams bargaining against each other, drive that price up, because I think teams right now are kind of holding firm to something shorter term loaded with incentives.
So we talk about Green Bay, and I know that their cap situation is definitely tight and they would have to move some stuff around to make it happen with Watt. But considering their window with Aaron Rodgers and who knows how long he's going to be there for, is that sort of the type of thing that it's just incumbent on the GM, Brian Gutekunst, to go out there and make the moves necessary to clear the room, to show to Rodgers and show to that whole team that they're still dead serious about making moves, making additions, making the team better to try and get them, you know, over that hump to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers didn't really waste any time kind of taking those passive-aggressive shots. You never quite know what he's saying there, but he didn't seem too happy immediately out of that game, and he said similar things in the past. And he's probably right to an extent. Like, defensively, you do need another playmaker. I mean, Watt could be that missing piece. Don't get me wrong. He could be that guy. But, I mean, they were the number one seed last year. Aaron Rodgers was the MVP. You did have guys like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Alan Lazard, Bob Tonyan. I mean, these aren't household names, but they made freaking plays all year. Like, they stepped up in big moments. MVS in that NFC Championship game, huge play down the sideline on Carlton Davis. And, you know, I Rodgers' numbers were good, but yeah, he also missed Lazard wide open for a touchdown when the corner fell down. He missed Davante Adams before that on a back shoulder throw, a routine throw he's made a zillion times in his life, and probably could have ran in for a touchdown before Matt LaFleur inexplicably decided to kick that field goal on the last drive of the season. So, I mean, I don't think there's that temptation from everybody to say, oh, you got to get him weapons, you got to get him weapons, you got to get him weapons. He's 1-4 in the NFC Championship game. He's not as great in that moment as he is in the regular season. At some point, if he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the best ever, you got to rise up and deliver, and he did not deliver against Tampa Bay.
Can I play fantasy GM with you, Tyler, real quick when it comes to the Packers?
Let's do it.
Yeah, because it's that time of year where we can have fun like this. His cap number is $15 million, just over $15 million for the next 3 years. Clearly, the Cleveland Browns want to move on from Odell Beckham Jr. What about OBJ with the Packers beside Davante Adams? Because to me, that potentially could be very scary, and you could have an elite passing game, and you're pleasing your quarterback, and Odell Beckham Jr. could have a massive comeback there. I think that's a perfect fit.
It is. Gosh, football-wise, I mean, for Odell to have a threat like that over on the other side, to have the young talent that we just referenced, I mean, what's not to love? I just would be surprised, I guess, if this front office kind of rooted in that Ted Thompson school of not taking risks, took that risk in the locker room with Odell Beckham, right or wrong. You know, you hear him all over the place with Odell Beckham, but I feel like the Packers are going to be that team that doesn't necessarily want to gamble on personality in the locker room. And from what I've heard, I don't think Odell's been a problem in Cleveland at all. It's just, for whatever reason, it just kind of hasn't worked out. I mean, they were better schematically without him. And it's crazy to even say that out loud, but they really were. So you wonder if he is only getting those 6-7 targets a game with all these other weapons, how does he react and respond to that? It hasn't necessarily always been the best in the past.
Before we let you go, what are you expecting offseason-wise from the Bills to, I guess, try and get them closer to Kansas City over that hump so they can be the team next year representing the AFC in the Super Bowl?
Definitely. I appreciate that because we just did a big story, a go-along on it. If there's Bills listeners out there, Bills fans that want to check it out, they can subscribe. And I tried to kind of break it down. I think, you know, you got to pay Josh Allen first because that's going to be a lot of money. I think you get ahead of that market. Because it's only going to go one direction. It's only going to go up. You know he's the guy. Pay him. Make Stephon Diggs happy. I know there's 3 years left in his deal. He's woefully underpaid as, like, the 16th richest receiver in the league. You know, rework that deal. Make him happy. That's your foundation. You got to find a pass rusher, right? I mean, it's all about Mahomes. Getting him off his spot. Tampa had him running around for, gosh, it felt like, what was it, 400 yards, I think, before he attempted passes or got sacked. So he's running for his life in that game, and he didn't break a sweat against Buffalo the game before. So you got to get a pass rusher. Is it Watt? I think they're looking at him. I think they're looking at guys like Unique Ngakoue and Bud Dupree and Melvin Ingram. I mean, you got some situational guys in there. It's probably worth overpaying for one of those guys because of that value on – needing to get after Mahomes. So I think that they really should prioritize that position. And then on offense, I'd go to the draft. I would just keep replenishing talent. Whoever that is. Is it Travis Etienne? Is it another receiver? Is it another tight end? A new tight end? I mean, that's what makes the best offenses in the NFL, I think, perennially great. I mean, think about the Colts and Manning and Bill Polian as GM. They were drafting guys every year. Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne. I mean, they should do that kind of stuff around Josh Allen. And just keep that pedal to the metal, and maybe this time you don't kick a field goal at the end of the first half and play scared.